time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Dresses Up at Work for Halloween.
Mr. Dresses Up at Work for Halloween.
Dressing up for Halloween was fun when we were kids. However, it seems a bit inappropriate for the Vice President of Human Resources to be wearing a purple pimp costume.
But really kind of accurate.
Do you think Mr. Dresses Up at Work for Halloween that the entire accounting department should wear Spice Girl outfits? That is, the all-male accounting department?
A new meaning of scary spice.
A loan officer shouldn't look like a pirate.
Avast, ye have bad credit. Arr.
So when you see Frankenstein at the fax machine, the werewolf at the water cooler, or the phantom of the photocopier, don't be afraid. It's just the ghoul of the cubicle. Mr. Dresses Up at Work for Halloween. A real American hero.
Mr. Dresses Up at Work for Halloween.
Did you put a cover sheet on your TPS reports, Batman?
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, October 15th. If you haven't filed your taxes yet, you're shit out of luck, man.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Is this a specific thing?
Today, yeah. If you took an extension in April, today is the day.
Did you take an extension?
Yes.
Did you already?
And I met the deadline.
Of course you did. You're like the guy at school who like had all the pencils and the paper and had everything.
You think so?
Yeah.
No, I'm a slacker.
Really?
I'm a slacker. If
you
ask my wife, she hates that, man.
No, but you're kind of like, you're an organized dude.
Yeah, but she didn't push me to it. We probably would miss the deadline.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll remember that next time I screw something up and you try giving me a talking to.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll be like, let me call your wife real quick and see what ammo I can get and use at this moment.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that? I mean, I've noticed I've done this, and I'm not saying it's right, but it is a good skill to have.
Mm-hmm.
Is you catalog dirt on someone else,
mm-hmm,
so that you can use it as arsenal later in an argument.
That is good. That is a great idea.
It's a great arguing tool, but of course you should not keep records or write. I mean, in friendship and stuff, you can't really live like that, but
mm-hmm,
you know, sometimes I'm just a good observer.
Yeah, that's good. And keep it in your arsenal.
It's
I like that.
Yeah, keep it in your arsenal. But it's also not good too, because then, you know, you're always holding somebody to something, which isn't good.
Nah,
who cares? No, because none of us can. Not we all need, you know, freedom.
Do
you know?
We do.
We can't live like that. We're all screw ups.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so had a dance party in my car this morning. I got down. Thank God today is not a television type day, because I look like not good. And I started my new little job,
mm-hmm,
like only 3-4 days in.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the shift, the head hostess was like, okay, so we just need to discuss hostess attire. I knew it was coming.
In other words, you dressed like a slut.
I hate that word. I was a little skanky looking. I didn't look skanky. It was a short dress, and mm-hmm, it was one of these things where it's an older clientele.
Mm-hmm.
And she said the word attire. I thought it was so sweet. She's trying to be so diplomatic about it. And mm-hmm, I was like, hey, look, I own a lot of skanky clothing. It's just kind of the way I dress. No mm-hmm, stress. I was like, don't worry about it. Just make her feel like, don't feel bad. You can tell me it's fine. It's no, like consoling her. It's like, don't feel bad. I get it. It's fine. I saw a couple like old women look at me weird. And one woman, I think they're jealous though.
Probably.
But I mean, I kind of understand, you know, there's a certain ambiance you're going for. I can respect that and get,
right.
I can fall in line. It's not a big deal. And it is a job, so I'm going to have to. But it's just interesting some of the looks that I got. But it's weird because in LA, people, depending on what pocket you're in, you don't get those kind of looks because it's a free-for-all. Everybody's just being themselves.
Right.
And then you go to a certain kind of concentrated area of maybe a different clientele or something, and I just wasn't expecting it because I'm not used to – I don't go to these kind of restaurants. It's really, really fine dining.
And didn't they tell you in advance what you're supposed to wear and everything?
I think they just assumed I had a brain and that I was a little on the – I got that it was a conservative style of dressing. But I like to push it.
You sure do.
I still do. Push it real good.
I've never seen your hair so messy before, though.
I look like a Fraggle Rock right now. I'm babysitting. So my friend went out of town. She's like, can you spend the night at my house? Wake up with my kid that wakes up at 5 a.m.
Wow.
So her husband can sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
He works, works long hours. Wake up with my kid. Do all the morning food, Blue's Clues, all the TV shows and Store the Explorer, all that stuff.
How fun.
And then I was like, okay, well, I have to do the radio show. So then I hand the kid off to the neighbor. And then I come back, and I still do more Blue's Clues and food and nap time, which nap time is like a war zone.
Yeah.
And then my other roommate comes and takes over at 2, and then I got to run to this hostessing thing that doesn't get out till about 11 or midnight.
Yeah.
So it's been a little crazy.
So you didn't have time for anything.
So there's a reason why I'm looking like this.
Okay, well, we'll take you anywhere you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we've got a special show. We've got a beautiful guest in the studio, and she's waiting to talk her heart out, so we're going to bring her in. And your name is Simona, and the last name is Berlikova, right?
Very good.
Is it Burley or Brelly?
It's Burley.
Burley. Okay, so Berlikova. I said it right. Berlikova. There's just no... Yeah, there's too few vowels there, so you have to kind of guess, right? That's the way it is. Where are you originally from?
Former Czechoslovakia.
Really? Wow. Yeah.
And then because we've already exposed our ignorance, we've already like, he and I had like a show where we didn't know where like a lot of countries, well, we didn't even know they were countries. So what is the former now? What's his new name?
Now it's Czech Republic and Slovakia.
That. Okay. That's what I thought.
And
it's like two countries now, right?
It's two countries now.
Right,
It's the heart of Europe. It's actually the very central part of Europe.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's considered Eastern Europe though, right?
It's central.
Central Europe? Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I never realized that.
I guess, like, back in the days, it was all part of, like, a former...
Soviet Union, right?
No.
No?
It was communist bloc.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And so...
What's the difference?
Well, communist bloc countries were, like, Germany was communist.
Right.
Wasn't the Soviet Union communist, though, too?
Yeah. Yeah. It was all kind of like Soviet occupied back in the days.
Right.
And
right.
So then you had Hungary, there was communist Poland. And,
right.
You know,
okay.
So for some reason, people think that it was all like part of Soviet Union.
Right. But it
actually,
wasn't.
Soviet Union was just Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, and all those other countries.
Right. Okay. And the rest is the communist bloc. You're right.
It's just so long ago,
you know, like the Cold War and everything that. You tend to forget. What can I say, you know?
So there is your little crash course.
Yeah.
What's it like now? What's the political climate and the cultural climate?
Oh,
right,
I mean,
now?
It's amazing. It's very, very, you know, developed, much, very modern. Roads are definitely better than L.A.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's not hard, though, right?
Because yeah.
L.A.
Nowhere
is like
worse
big parking
than L.A.
lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you hear now they're doing the they're working on the 405, so they're gonna make so while they're, because they're trying to widen, you know, the 405, which is a very busy freeway for those who are not in LA, and so they're doing some construction to widen the road.
It's the worst.
While they do the construction, it's gonna be a mess.
You see, I say just take if I have to go from like Hollywood to Santa Monica, I'll just take Wilshire or Olympic.
Yeah.
You know. No, I do too. But I'm saying like I was thinking about the freeways and I was like 101's really, 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 really bad. The 405's really, really, really bad. And I kept going 101, 405, 101, 405. Like which one's the worst as far as congestion? I think it's 405.
And you never know. It's hard to know.
I think it's 405. No, the 405
is.
I think
the 101 is considered the busiest freeway in the world.
I don't know. Isn't there like a website where you
can
trace the flow of the traffic?
Here we are, like.
You want to get all exact on us? We don't really do exact here, but we're gonna Google busiest freeway.
Busiest freeway in the world, the 101. I'm telling you, I think I read it somewhere. Not that the 405 is much better, you know, but.
I feel like I feel like though you're right. It does say the 101, Southern Tenuous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, the thing is that they have the top 10 most dangerous freeways and they have the top 10 most dangerous intersection. And both of those categories, like the top five are like right by where I live.
Really?
Like the 101 and 405 intersection is probably, I think, is the number one worst as far as.
Yeah, right. Everything. Which is right here down the street, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But I feel like I can get on the 101 and kind of get around. Maybe it's where my exit is.
Mm-hmm.
It's still bad. It's in Hollywood, but there's something about the 405 as far as it seems like there's so many transplants that come in and out of the 405.
It's like a big artery.
It's just it's horrific.
Yeah. Well, the hell with the traffic. So
the traffic.
So you were born in Czechoslovakia and you grew up there, right?
Yes, up until I was about 16.
Really?
Yeah.
And what happened then?
Then I went to New York.
By yourself?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Just went to explore a little bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I can relate to that because I also left at 16 and came here. And I did have some family here. Did you have anybody here?
I had nobody.
Nobody, huh?
Yeah. I'm still a newcomer. You know?
Really?
I'm still asking, you know, directions, places to go.
How long have you been in L.A.?
Properly since January, but I came here in September last year to finish a job.
Yeah, well, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
But you were somewhere else before in the States?
I was in London.
Oh, in London.
That's what I consider a hometown.
Really?
I was living there for 10 years.
Wow.
Wow.
So you moved from Czechoslovakia to London when you were 16. What did your parents say? I mean, did they support you?
Well,
they
didn't really say much other than they thought I'm going on vacation to New York.
Mm.
And then I just didn't come back. But, you know, they knew I wanted to pursue what I wanted to pursue, you know, creative arts, and they're very academic. Uh-huh. So at some point, you know, I had to tell them, like, you know what, I will go and study properly. So I went to London.
Get a degree.
You know, get closer to it. It's, you know, stay in Europe, but I wanted to study and work in English language.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
I mean, I dreamed big.
Yeah.
You know? So how can you dream big and not speak English? You know?
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Wow, that's amazing. So at 16, you already knew I need to get out of here,
I knew when I was 4.
Too confining.
I did too. Really? I knew. I left my dad's house when I was 16 to my aunt's, so it's not the same thing. It was just a few streets down. But it was still different. But I always knew at a young age, I'm like, I'm getting the hell out of this crazy place. Every place, I always had an escape route. I was like, I'm out one day, and I'd like rock in the corner, and I'd sing songs. I'm like, I'm going, never looking back, you know? So I get it.
And here you are.
Here I am.
There you are. Yeah. Wow.
I haven't brushed my teeth, and got crazy hair.
Yeah.
I used to look good. I gotta tell you,
you're looking good. You look different, though.
Nobody would know.
Poor Sam is stressed out over there. He's like,
You've never seen her made up. I mean, you know. So you don't know the difference.
Yeah, it's a transformation. But that's okay.
But your hair is a mess. That's what it is.
You know what, Sam? It is a mess. I'm okay with that.
I'm telling you like it is, you know?
It's kind of like a surfer chick. She looks like a surfer chick. Give her a break.
She looks good. Yeah, I took up surfing as of yesterday. I surfed. Baby got up early. Anyway, enough about me.
Yeah.
Back to Czechoslovakia.
Back to Czechoslovakia.
So you moved to London, right? And so you went to school there?
I went to school there. I studied and studied and studied.
So
I
you had like to
nerd,
go to high school
believe
there,
or
right?
Not. Yeah. Well, no, I did my kind of a college university there.
Mm.
And as I was doing that, I was pursuing acting because basically I wanted to go to drama school straight away.
Mm-hmm.
But I missed out on all the auditions for drama schools. And so I was like, okay, what am I going to do? You know, like, I really don't want to like stagnate for a year.
Yeah.
And I wanted to kind of please my parents. So I went to university.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't deviate too far away from arts. You know, I studied media, TV production, communication, and arts.
That's cool. So you're an artistic type of person.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
You couldn't go like into history and philosophy and things like that.
No, I could go there, but on my own with my own books, but to study it, no. Yeah. I love philosophy.
Yeah.
It's all part of, you know, what I do. I think it's always nice to analyze people with like, you know, and know the background of things, but.
But the hell with accounting.
Being a lecturer or something, you know. It's more about, you know, so it's more about arts, and it's nice to get the background about, you know, like when you're acting, it's nice for me to know what goes on behind the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
It's always nice. You know, it gives you it makes you feel confident.
That's true.
Especially when I first started, I kind of knew what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Um, first time, you know, when you leave the stage and you come onto the film set, it's very different, you know, and yeah. and so I already kind of knew, like, oh, okay, you know, I had to hit the mark, I have to, you know, who's who, you know, be nice to everybody, because it, everyone works as one team, it's not just, you know, then you see a lot of cocky actors coming to the set thinking that's an assistant, like, you know.
No, they're idiots. Yeah. They've had one Nickelodeon episode and they think they're a diva.
Yeah. So acting is what you decided to pursue, right?
100%.
And that happened in London?
Yes, I started everything in London.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, you know, I decided way back, but it was all that energy that didn't have a form. And I needed some sort of a guidance, you know, and
let's get down to it. So did mom and dad, were they good? Were they loving? Was it, what was the dysfunctional part?
Yeah, how dysfunctional
what was dysfunctional?
It?
No,
and
right?
It's not bad. I mean, I do, you know, the same thing. And it's one of these things where it's a good thing that kind of usually comes out of something chaotic, I think.
Absolutely.
But that's not
Absolutely.
Bad. That's not. No. I don't think it's bad at all. But anyway, continue.
There was nothing dysfunctional as such. You know, my parents are still married. I think what was dysfunctional for me is that they were academics, you know, and I have an older brother. So I saw him going the academic route, what parents wanted. And I was just, you know, by nature, I personally believe, you know, if you're an artist, you're born an artist.
Right.
I think
and,
so too, yeah.
And you just follow that route, you know. So I had a good spiritual guide somewhere up there who just guided me, you know, out of the country and on the path to where I'm now. And, you know, so I think that was main thing. And
yeah.
I was always attracted to just travel and meet foreigners. And, you know, that's why I started learning a bunch of languages.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were like, well, isn't English enough? You know, like, just learn one proper. I'm like, nah. You know, I got to mix in some French, mix in some Italian.
Right.
And they were like, you're going to get confused. You're never going to learn any language properly. But I'm like, let me worry about that.
Yeah.
And right now, I like, you know, I'm glad I did. Mm-hmm. So
that's
so you
really
can
cool.
speak these languages too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's like, don't let other people tell you what your capacity
exactly.
is. And that's the
exactly.
thing is that, especially when you're an artist or you're somebody that's outside the box, it's like, this is what I got slammed for. I went back to Texas. I'm from Texas and I went back recently and they're like, somebody was like, oh, you were a dog in Texas. But she was being cute about it. But I was like, you don't get it. When you're an eccentric and you're in a society that's not built for that.
Yep.
If you are an outsider, you're lonely, even if you can kind of play it off.
Yeah.
You're not, and you're not operating in your strengths
totally,
on a day-to-day
totally,
basis.
Totally.
So there's a lot of, you know, it is hard. And but I think that, you know, 99% of people are followers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things that...
That's how I believe, yeah.
Yeah, and most people are followers. And anytime, you know, you're going to go out and create, creating is new. It's
totally,
something, even if it's even if it's influenced or it's got a this or that, it's something
but
brand
it's something
new.
But it's something that you made it, you know.
Yeah, it's new. And people don't usually have the faith or they don't have the... But they want to, but they're too afraid. Like, your parents are probably tremendously impressed with you, I bet.
Absolutely. Now.
Now, yeah.
Now that you've accomplished something.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they can see it.
Yeah, but you know what? There's something to be said for, and I say this, and it's not any disrespect to anybody, but there is a difference between, you know, the people that see it in you before it gives birth versus the people that see it when it's there.
Once it's there.
And it's not bad. It's still great. But I have a lot of people in my life that are like, when things are going good, they're like, oh, man, great job, blah, blah, blah. But when things are hard or whatever, it's like, well, you know, just pack it up. And I'm if I lived like you, I wouldn't even gotten this far.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I have to say, you know, my mom, she was very strict. My dad was more about, like, laissez-faire. You know, like, she's the way she is, you know, she's a little wild child, you know, let's just guide her a little bit. But then I think at some point they both realized, like, there's no way she's ever going to be a translator. She's never going to work for United Nations or she's never going to be a teacher. I mean, or a lawyer or any of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would come dressed in my mom's office looking like, you know, ripped jeans and, you know. And she would hate that. She's like, well, the dresses. Like, I was raised like a tomboy.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of followed that. My mind is still very tomboyish, even though, you know, everything else developed differently.
But, yeah, obviously.
That's funny.
But so, it's funny how many feminine women grew up as tomboys, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
and you would never think that.
Right.
You know, so, like, I've been judged all my life being for, but, you know, being a woman over, because I look a certain way, but, you know, no one actually cares what's in there,
inside your brain.
Or being of certain nationality, you automatically have to be a certain way. So I'm like, I never judge anyone. I love to meet different people and talk to them and see what they're about.
Right.
You know, before I make my own opinion. You know, like 100 people could tell me, oh, he or she is so and so. I'm like, okay, well, let me meet her. You know, I know I can, you know, make an opinion of myself, because usually I like something that the rest doesn't, or the other way around.
Yeah. Do you, what is the perception, or what do you feel like is a perception that you come against being from your part of being from the Czech Republic?
You know, right now, like, I don't know anymore, but I can tell you 10 years ago when I came to, I don't know, you know, New York or London, it was a culture shock. And, you know, right now times have changed, internet and everything, and I think people are much more clued up. But it was very much like you have to be a call girl or you have to be something, because, you know, they had perceptions of all the Russians
out there
in the world.
That's true,
you know, so like no one knew that we actually have the best education in the world, you know, or had. Yeah. It's changing with all the Americanization and, you know, internet and everything.
Yeah.
So it's only, you know, when I started speaking, it was like, oh, okay, you know, tell us more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I fought really hard against that perception. That's why I just studied. And I'm like, and then, you know, you grow up and you think, you know what? Can I swear?
Yeah, of course you can swear. Yeah.
I was like, fuck this. Uh-huh. Like, I am who I am. I'm comfortable with who I am. You know, hey, my body is the way it is. You know, why should I be ashamed of it?
Exactly.
You know, and so I kind of came to my own, you know, so I no longer. So I don't know what the perception is right now. I guess, you know, if you talk to men, they think, oh, yeah, you know, Czech or Slovak women, it's like hot women, whatever. And I'm like, you know, it just goes past my head. if you say to someone, you know, I came from London. Oh, okay, so you must be, you know, conservative. Oh, you must have had a good education. And I'm like, yeah, I did, you know. So
yeah.
it's kind of a mixture. And I don't really dwell on what the perception
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no, nor you know should I mean? You. No. Nor should you.
It's like, I dress however I want to dress. If I wake up, I wear overalls, you know, one piece. And I don't brush my hair, you know.
Well,
I just get
I
on
don't.
With it, yeah. You know. And of course, if you have to show up to some function or meet people, you know, I get up extra early and, you know, make a little effort.
Yeah.
But normally, I'm a kind of a non-fuss type
me
of chick.
Me too. Well, no, that's not true, actually.
I can do my makeup in 5 minutes on the... Like, living in London, I used to take public transport buses.
Uh-huh.
And I could literally just go to a meeting and... In 10 minutes on the bus, I would like do my makeup. So I perfected the art of doing makeup, even now in the car when I'm driving. So it's like, you know, yeah.
I know. Yeah. I've had to stop doing some of it because I almost killed somebody one time. And I was like, if I'd have killed somebody over a mascara,
yeah,
I would just be like, I would hate myself. But no, being from Texas, and even though it's the same country and coming out here, and I'm not even that quote unquote Texas-y as the stereotype, it's interesting to see when you're talking to somebody and the flash of, oh, you're from Texas.
Yeah.
And I always wonder what they're thinking and how
how you should be, right?
Yeah, and then I kind of play into it for fun, and then I kind of think, oh, that's so not accurate, but it's an interest. It's fun. It's for me. I think it's fun. I like playing with that stuff. But there's a different perception when I'm talking to somebody. They're like, I knew you weren't from around here. You're from Texas. I'm
right.
Like, what does that mean? Like, you know, there's like a weird, not weird, but a different kind of perception of Texas women or something.
And like, I personally feel like I don't have like a strong identity as such.
Mm.
You know, I moved around.
Because you moved around.
And
you don't know really where you belong.
Yeah. And like in London, there's a whole group of us that are just like total uprooted jet setters, or you know, people whose parents are mixed, and you know, they are either, you know, Spanish, English, or American, German or something. So I think that real kind of a strong sense of belonging, I can't quite subscribe to that. You know, like for me, when people say, well, where's home, I'm like, wherever I hang my jacket,
right?
You know, right?
Exactly.
Now it's LA talk.
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm the same way.
No, I mean, you know, and for me, it's happened, and still sometimes it happens to me, you know, because I'm from Israel, but yet home for me is here. I've lived all of my adult life here. But sometimes you wonder, where do I really belong, you know? So, like you said, you know, it's what you consider home. That's your home, you know?
That's
and
right.
I think that where people
where
love
you,
that's home. Yeah.
Your home, you know?
Yeah, somebody wrote on my Facebook a long time ago, because I did some music stuff, and they wrote, don't forget your roots. Don't forget where you came from. And it was sweet. Like, don't forget, you know, basically this small town Texas thing. And I thought, I didn't really come from there, I don't think. I mean, because I wasn't born there. I my parents were in the military until I was 10, and then I lived in Texas. But the reality is that I saw their heart and their perception, and I thought that was sweet, and I just wanted to feel that way, but I couldn't feel it. I just didn't feel like I have a home. I even today, I don't. I mean,
totally
even though I feel at home-ish in L.A., because I've lived here you know, for a while. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, I don't really feel like when you go home for Christmas or something, I don't really feel like it's anywhere, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, well, that's what happens when people move a lot and stuff.
Definitely.
You know? Yeah.
I think you just have to make it. And in a way, it's good, you know, from the, I don't know if you know Buddhism, but it's not, you don't get attached to things.
Right, so, exactly.
You know how people, the first time, I remember when I relocated, actually it wasn't that painful. I think it was more painful for my mom. But I was just, you know, you get homesick. I don't get homesick anymore. I miss my dogs. You know, I speak to my parents every day.
Really?
And my mom calls me every day.
Yeah.
Every day. It's like, Mom, there's nothing new. Well, anyway, I just want to hear your voice. You know?
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's nice.
And so, you know, I speak to my friends in London. Mm-hmm. I do miss London, though. You know, like just the proximity and the culture. I don't miss the weather.
But so why did you decide to move here? I mean, you moved here in January, you said?
Well, I came here to finish a movie, Gala Walker.
Uh-huh.
And
so it started in London and then finished it here?
The pre-production and everything started in London, then we filmed in Africa, and then we came here to just, you know, touch up and do
how
bits
cool.
and pieces.
Where in Africa did you film?
Namibia.
Really? Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really Africa,
awesome.
You know?
That's real Africa. Yeah, it was very sandy and it was very charming.
Where really? Is it? Where is that?
It's just about South Africa.
Oh, just above it. Okay.
Yeah, just above it. Like, above
and to the
west.
What was it like there? What was it like?
Hot. It's very sandy. You know, like Africa is very picturesque, but every country is different.
Right.
So is it deserty?
Namibia is very deserty. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And apparently they are the oldest rocks and stones in the world. Like, that's where we came from.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah, that's
and
what they
And you can feel
say,
it. There's so many minerals. It's pretty impressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you get to go to South Africa too while you were there?
I only passed through the airport.
Oh,
because
wow.
As much as I wanted to.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of time. It's just, you know, production schedule and they don't want you to travel much because of the insurance and you never know what happens. And
that's true.
And also, you know, the way films are made, you never know. Like, even they tell you 2 days off, but you can be on set in 3 hours from the second they say that, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
So. You know, I know, but I'm planning on going on my own.
Yeah,
that's
really cool.
Yeah, it is visible.
Yeah. So the pre-production was in London, then you filmed in Namibia, and then the post-production was here. Is that what it is?
The post-production was in London and here.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So you decided, what the hell, I'm gonna go to LA.
What the hell, you know?
On.
I came here. I always wanted to explore. Obviously, there are so many more opportunities here.
Yeah.
And once I got here, it only took me 17 visa denials.
Really? Oh my God.
I know so many friends that are like, I got work, man, or I can get, like, they've got reasons to be here and they're trying to do it the right way, and it's just so damn hard for them.
And so finally, you know, when everything came together, I'm like, okay, you know, here I am. And so then I managed to get onto another film called Madoff with America. About Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
Here I am.
There you go.
You know, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, still going.
That's so fun.
So that movie you said was Gala Walkers?
Gala Walker. Yes,
right.
With Wesley Snipes.
Oh, really?
Awesome.
And what did you do in the movie?
I play the baddie.
Really?
I play the villainess called
Kiss-Cut.
Uh-huh. Yeah. She
sounds fun.
Kicks butt.
Really?
She...
Did you get to wear some special outfits and stuff?
Special outfit.
Really?
I had a kick-ass red corset.
Really?
That was made from ostriches.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So beautiful. You can see their pictures somewhere online on my IMDb page.
They're really?
Wow.
If you see the red corset and my big blonde hair, that's from Gala Walker.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We need to check
hair,
it out.
Huh?
When does it hit the theaters?
Early spring next year.
Oh, so it's got a while. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's so
cool,
though.
Yeah, we're still doing finishing touches, you know. And
cool.
I mean, it's going to go quickly. You know?
What was it like working with Wesley Snipes?
He was great.
Yeah?
He was real good. Yeah. He's very a very generous actor.
Mm-hmm.
And great human, very spiritual human being.
Oh, really?
So it was nice to meet someone. You know, he was actually very humble, contrary to what a lot of people, you know, thought of him or heard before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from my own experience, I can only, you know, say what I experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he was very humble, very very spiritual.
Mm.
It's nice to see people, you know, that actually live by what they
believe. Right.
Yeah, because a lot of people just, you know, talk and and you know, he's a martial artist.
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of comes together with him. but he just, his whole being is just about, he's very perceptive, you know, very...
Yeah. Mm. Was the casting for that movie done in London?
It was done in L.A. and London.
I see.
Yeah.
So that's what, you got the job in London,
I got the job in London.
Right. Yeah. And that wasn't your first movie, though, right?
No, have you done some stuff before? In London. Mm-hmm. I did a couple of TV shows. I don't know if you guys probably know Footballers' Wives, mm-hmm. Bad Girls, IT Crowd. Do you know those?
No.
I'm sure they're huge. Well, they're we didn't even know that, you know, we didn't know that Wales was a country. So
right, exactly.
We didn't know that, you know, Slovakia is Czech Republic. So don't worry. It's like, sure.
It's all good. It's all good.
We're just
we get more ignorant every day.
Oh, maybe you heard about someone called Casanova. You know, I did Casanova's Love Letters. It was like a mini series.
Oh, I didn't see something for that. That's cool.
Anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, we'll work it out, girl.
And you know, I did a bunch of independent films, British films. They're all great, great projects, you know, and amazing learning curve.
So cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever have to do any nudity in the movies?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you gotta tell me which one.
I tell you, in Madoff, Madoff with America, I had a love scene.
Oh.
And I had to be topless.
Ah,
and it's always the hardest thing ever.
Is it really
because,
hard?
You know, like, I have no problem with nudity. You know, we Europeans and we run around naked all day long.
Right.
But to be on set with like 20 strangers, you know, the crew and everything, and they're in such a close proximity, and there you are. And it's like, okay, so I just clung on to my acting partner. I'm like, okay, well, you're going to see it, you're going to feel it, so you might as well cover me up. But I'm pretty sure the cameraman was very skillful.
Yeah.
I saw some rushes, and I'm like, damn, you got it.
Yeah. Well, the things you have to do for acting, you know.
But, you know, if the character calls it, it's okay. I mean, how are you going to do the love scene?
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. So what character did you play in Madoff?
I play a fiancé of Bernie's Russian oligarch business partner. He was like his main right hand.
I see.
The way they laundered a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I am the mastermind behind the expose of the whole scandal to the media.
Oh, really?
Yes, because I got betrayed by my partner. And, excuse me. And I, you know, there's nothing worse than the woman scorned.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I got he sleeps with my daughter.
Oh, really?
And so that was bad.
That's dirty.
So I call a filmmaker, someone like Michael Moore. Actually, I don't call him. I hire someone to do it. I had like a little spy. So he, you know, and I feed him all the information because I know where the money is. I know what's going on. And he then brings all the info to the filmmaker and the crew.
Why did this dude sleep with the daughter? Is it not his real daughter?
It's just, well, that it wasn't his daughter. It was
his daughter.
She was about 4 to 15.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. I think they're trying to make her look older. Just, you know,
was that based on truth? Or I'm sure they added a lot of fiction to it.
A lot of, well, the original script that I got was 100% truth.
Mm-hmm.
From my understanding, they couldn't get away with everything.
Right.
They couldn't, because there's a lot of things that are still, you know, legally going.
Right.
So we had to add some Hollywood elements
fiction,
to it. Supernatural elements to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah, there's some stuff people just don't want to see, right? I guess.
Some stuff you don't want to see.
Yeah. There's just some stuff you're like, let's bump her up to 16. It just does something for us a little, you know.
Especially that was filmed where all the Polanski was going on, you know, that they were about to read, you know, he goes back in. Yeah. So. Yeah. So they were just like, no, we don't quite want to do that. And I'm like, well, could I really have a 16-year-old daughter? I started really young.
What do you think of the Polanski thing? I mean, do you think he's already paid his dues for his crime?
You know, it's a real, real, real hard one. My opinion on that shifted when his victim forgave him.
Right.
She said, I'm done with this. So I thought, you know what, when she came to peace with it, who am I to judge him?
Right.
You know, before I was like, you know, it's definitely wrong. And yes, in many ways, I think he redeemed himself in arts world. At the end of the day, it's not right what he did, because had it happened to me when I was 13, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, when the victim forgave him, she obviously lived through it and cleansed her whole... mind off of it. So yeah, you know, who am I to judge it?
Yeah.
Good, you know, good for her, good for him, and
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. how, you know, let him live and in yeah. peace. I mean, he just, you know, he's like, he's getting old.
Yeah, he's getting
so,
older there.
How old
yeah.
is he?
Yeah.
But
I don't know. It's probably in his 60s, 70s?
Oh, yeah,
70s?
70s.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, I think, you know, I think he paid his dues. And I'm sure, it's a very sensitive topic.
I think
it's very hard to just say, you know, black or white.
Right.
You know, at the time, of course, he was in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been years.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, like I said, you know, my opinion on that shifted when she came out and she said,
right.
I'm down with that. So if you're down with that girl, you know, it's good for me.
Yeah. What about you, Kira? Do you think he still hasn't paid?
To be honest, I haven't really followed the case that much. I mean, I've heard snippets here and there. I know he's about to die any second as far as old age goes. And she was this an isolated incident that happened when she was 13, or was it a continual?
No, I think it was once.
Just once.
Just a one-time, once. Like, rape or?
Just once, yeah. He had sex with her. He apparently drugged her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the whole saga. But
yeah, that's pretty much it.
I mean, there's no way to make it. I'm not trying to, like, diminish what he did because, you know, even if it's a one-time thing, it's still awful. To me, I just don't know if it's about justice or if it's about, like, money.
Yeah, you know, or it's just, trying to make an example. Or
yeah, it just doesn't seem like this is about justice, you know, because I know that there are worse pedophiles and there's
of
worse
course.
Rapists that are out in, like, a year or two. So I have a hard time.
And it's been what, like, is it 20 years? More?
More than
like
that.
It's the fact that he has money, he has notoriety. You know what I mean? Whereas I'm like, why don't you go after the people that have? They've got DNA kits that they don't have the money to process these kits. And these kits, if they were processed, this evidence would put people behind bars or keep them behind bars. And they don't have the money to do that. It's kind of like go after the ones where it's like, you know, I'm not saying that he shouldn't be prosecuted in any way, shape, or form. I just don't think the motives are necessarily justice-driven, as opposed to, look what we're already dealing with, and these people, look at their victims, have yet to get any kind of resolution or resolve on this. And I think it's a really broken system, and I just, you know. Well, they're not as important. They're not high profile. They're like, well, we get around to it. Heinous crimes. Heinous crimes, you know? So I kind of have a hard time being emotionally invested in something like that, I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
So I see you've been in quite a few movies, huh? Yeah, I see Casanova's Love Letters here, TV miniseries.
Ah, you're doing your little research now.
Yeah, well, you know. You were even in Casino Royale. I mean, a small part, right?
But it was small. Unfortunately, it ended up on a cutting floor. But you know, it's a good credit to have. And it was an amazing experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you meet him, Daniel Craig?
I never met him. It was his first time he became Bond.
Mm-hmm.
But we never met because I filmed with a different unit.
Right.
I believe at the time he was filming in London, in Italy. And we were filming in London.
I see, okay.
So, that's really, really cool, though.
Yeah,
to have it in your credits.
Awesome.
I mean, what the hell, you know?
What the hell, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, you know?
I would love to do another, you know, in a proper role.
Right.
Being maybe a female baddie. Not bad, you know?
With Daniel Craig?
I don't know about Daniel Craig.
No, is he not?
You know, maybe for... Yeah, I mean, you know, for Bond, whoever the Bond is or will be. I think he still is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how
I don't know. He's my least favorite Bond. I don't know. Yeah, he just doesn't seem to connect with the role. Some people like him, but I thought Pierce Brosnan was great. Roger Moore was great. Sean Connery was great. But a couple of them in the middle just were not great, you know?
You know, I think he's amazing. Daniel Craig is an amazing actor.
Like,
he's an actor.
Right.
But Bond, I don't know. You know, to me, Bond is still dark and handsome. I can't help it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, like a Sean Connery. That's what we remember. You know, the
Clive
original
Owen
one.
Clive Owen would be
Clive
Owen. Yeah.
Yeah, suppose. Yeah, I'm just saying, right?
Clive Owen.
Well, that's cool.
Because he's quite ruggedy, yet suave. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose,
Clive Owen.
Not all of us can be Clive Owen, I guess.
That's okay. Sam, you're Clive Owen in your own way.
In my own world, yeah.
We've all got our alternate egos.
So how is it going in your personal life? Do you have someone?
In my personal life?
Mm-hmm.
You see, I was always trying to deviate from that question.
I see. Okay. Then you don't have to answer that.
Yes, she does.
Maybe she prefers women and doesn't want to tell us about it.
Precisely. You know, or maybe, you know, it's one of those questions where you can never answer it right. You know?
But you don't have to answer it right.
So I'd rather say, you know, I'm happy the way I am.
Right.
I'm a loose cannon, and I like to live my life that way.
Sounds
good. Do you find it tough, like, the whole, like, relationship
And you don't like to be attached to things, so...
No, I don't like to be attached to things.
Right.
I'm like a bullet train. You know, people bored. Right. There are very few stops. Mm-hmm. And so when someone boards, you know, they sometimes get off at the next stop, but they carry on, you know. It's like that with friends. It's like that with everyone, you know. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you something. Okay, so when you have a lifestyle and you're sold out to your passions and your career, and those are like a synonymous thing. I mean, mm-hmm. what you do for a living is your passion. Whereas a lot of people, it's not that way, so they have a hard time understanding how, you know, in relationships, do you find that you have a hard time meshing that whole, this is my passion, this is my dream, and I've got to go after it with a relationship? Or do you find that you've had success with meeting guys or women or whatever that are, you know, supportive of that?
I think in this current state mm-hmm. of my life where I am, whoever I meet, uh-huh. it's quite apparent that this is about my career. This mm-hmm. is about my life. You know, mm-hmm. I relocated and, it's all about just moving forward.
Uh-huh.
You know, people know, you know, that, look, if I wanted to be settled down with kids and raise a family, I would not be in LA, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, but usually
Where would you do it if you had to?
If I had to? It's a great question. I never actually thought about
like
it.
Like, where would you raise kids? Where do you think is a good place?
I think it would be somewhere in the countryside, not too far away from the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the city. I love the culture. I love going out, mm-hmm. Restaurants, theaters. But I do like the normality of a countryside.
Yeah, you want stability for, a child.
So I think it's somewhere in Europe. In Europe.
Sounds
definitely.
Good.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Did you answer? Sorry,
good, 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 good. So right now, are you dating anybody? Or are you totally single, ready to mingle? Or are you single, don't want to mingle?
I'm like single, don't want to mingle.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys hear that, man?
Yeah. Keep your distance from her.
No. It takes a very special man.
Yeah.
You know,
did you have any serious relationships in London?
Yes.
You did?
Yes. I'm a very serious relationshipper.
Really?
Yeah.
When you finally find the one, huh?
Yeah. I don't mess around.
Yeah.
You know, it's either or.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So you guys were totally madly in love. I'm sure it was crazy fun. And then it was just like he wanted you to stay there, and you were like, I got to go do a movie.
Yeah.
Kinda. Yeah. That's exactly how. That's what I just went through. I'm like, I've been dating. This is so mean. This is why I'm not a good person. This is why I'm not a good person. I'm dating somebody. Long story, but the audience knows. In Texas, and it's been this just real tumultuous like reconnection, and I'm gonna go back there and da da da. And I'm working at it all out over the air, and he hasn't called me back. And I think he's been listening to the show, and I think he's pissed. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for making me divulge my life to you, and he won't call me back.
No, but you know, if you have someone special in your life, they understand. You know, they understand. It's a connection. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't just date whoever, or you know, just have. That's what you know. I don't get into any relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have someone special in your life, they understand, and they, you know, they either move along with you, and whatever's meant to be will be.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to push it, you know, and they understand.
Yeah.
So I just live my life very according to the universe. You know, so I try as best
connect,
as I can.
Connect with the universe.
Yeah, it's like, you know, if you have a soulmate, there's a partner for you, they'll be there. And because you only meet one or two maybe in your lifetime, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that
someone once told me that everybody has like 50,000 soulmates or something.
Really?
That person get around
a
lot.
Try a new Facebook. Well, good for them.
Who knows?
Maybe one day they'll find themselves.
Yeah, maybe they will. Funny. Out of 50,000, you're bound to run into someone who is a soulmate, right?
That's funny.
Yeah, I'm here one.
Yeah.
So, you know,
cool.
It's hard.
Do you have siblings too?
I have older brother.
Really?
Yes.
And he's still in...
He is in Slovakia.
In Slovakia.
Mm-hmm. He also traveled a lot. He was a professional sportsman.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But he is now teaching yes, physical education and biology.
Wow, that's
and history.
Oh, really?
Everything you didn't want to do.
So he's the academic one.
He's very smart. Also, I think he's got both sides of the brain working. You know,
which is good. That's good.
With,
to have
with
them
me,
both
it's just a creative. You know, with him, it's both. He's very artsy, very creative, but he's also very smart.
Right.
So,
wow.
So,
That's pretty cool.
You know, we grew up together. He was my older brother, so I'm like, you know, that's my tomboy side. We used to fight a lot. And,
yeah.
What do they think of your films? Are they stoked about the films that you've done? Or
I think they just, you know, I don't really talk much about. Like, I just keep my private life private.
But I mean, they know you're out here doing acting,
yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, I just did a film with Wesley Snipes. Okay, and then you've had other stuff come out prior to this. It's like,
yes,
they don't. Look
I don't
at
think
them,
they or? Know the extent. I think the movie with Wesley, they kind of know because I was in Africa for 4 months, and as you know, my mom calls me every day, so she knows, you know, what's happening. But they're very proud. I think they, you know, when there are some articles.
Yeah,
so they come out
they
in
be?
Papers, I mean, you know, in Slovakia, yeah. they obviously read it and buy like 10 copies and show it to their friends. My brother's like the first one to go, hey, that's my little sister. I think they're just waiting to see what happens. You know, like, okay, you told us blatantly you don't want us to like interfere in your life. Uh-huh. Thank you very much. But, they, you know, they're great support. When there's a new big movie, I'd love to take my whole family to the red carpet.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome. So are you working on any films right now?
I just got onto a new project which I can't talk about yet because it's so fresh.
Right.
But it's, you know, they're still in a pre-production phase. But you will absolutely know about it.
What
the
a
minute
snow.
The minute it's out, you will know. It's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Good for you. So you managed to grab LA by the balls pretty much since you got here.
Well, you know, I haven't been like pretty much. You know, I'm busting my butt every day. You know, I'm on the phone. I'm like a saleswoman. I'm like a CEO of my own company. So
but
I have
that's
to,
good.
You know, I don't party. I don't really socialize much considering I'm in LA. I started partying when I was like 13. You know, I was a wild child.
So you got it out of
I got it out of my way.
out of your system. Yeah.
And so you know, now it's all about business. And some, you know, very wise, established people told me that you do business between 9 to 5, even in LA. That's when people take you seriously.
Really?
So I'm kind of trying to go that way. And of course, if there's something exciting happening, or, you know, there's a dinner at Steven Spielberg's house, I would not say no.
No,
you know what I mean?
You'd put the phone and the laptop down, and you're like, okay.
I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm going.
Yeah.
You know? So,
I mean, have you been able to connect with anybody here? I mean, not necessarily romance, but have you been able to find some friends or anything, or is it too soon?
I have a few friends, you know. I find it very hard. And, you know, like, people are very friendly, quote-unquote.
Right.
But not deep friendship.
Right.
You know, it's all about, everyone has an agenda. It's all about, what can I get from you? You know, it's like you meet people, you know, youngsters, and they just always like, so what, you know, what are you doing? It's always like, what are you doing? And I'm like, get out of here, you know, can you just like sit down? But saying that, I have some wonderful friends here. They are actually European community here. They're from like,
wonderful.
You know, Swiss Italians, and they just, you know, it's very European. We kind of get each other. You know, there's no business talk. We just like talk about surfing and,
I know, nothing
you know.
Makes me more nauseous when I'm like, even, you know, you get around whatever and people are, and it's not that, I understand you want to talk it out and connect, but then there's a point where it's like, oh man.
Exactly. You know, I mean, you go to those mixers, which it was a total surprise for me when I got here. You know, people go to mixers, and I think it's a great idea. You go in there, and everyone knows why they're there. They know that they're to network. So you just go. It's like a speed dating. You go from, you shake hands, hand to hand. It's like, hey, how are you doing? You know, I'm like, what are you? You know, what can you get? So that's great. But you get out of there, and you just want to really sit down and just like, you know, meet some cool people. But no, I have met some, not many, but I have met some wonderful girls and boys.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good. So, do you plan to stay here for a while?
I'm gonna be here for a little while. You know, I have to exhaust all my business options.
Yeah, you might as well. I mean,
absolutely.
You're where it's all happening.
I love it. Exactly. You know, there's so many opportunities.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm just going through the change of management and agencies. So it's pretty exciting.
Awesome.
You know? Yeah.
Awesome. Well, everybody, look for Gela Walker. Do you know when that one's coming out?
It's spring 2011.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we don't have exact date, but
right.
It's going to be either February or March.
What's that film about? I mean, it sounds pretty...
It's a supernatural western with Hollywood element to it. So it's like Once Upon a Time in the West. It's a, you know, Sergio Leone spaghetti western with supernatural elements to it.
Oh, sounds
It's a little
good.
Scarier than the original.
It sounds really
And it's not a remake either. you know, it's just that theme. It's a Western, and it's like kind of a slow, you know, camera movement, and the scenery is just gorgeous.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, Simona Berlikova, no. Yeah, Berlikova.
I said I'm gonna have a crash course.
Yeah.
For everyone.
But
I'm,
you know
I'm
what?
I mean,
it's pretty cool. We love like no, Slavic keep it. Names like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And stuff.
Thank
it's just
you.
That, yeah, maybe put a vowel in there.
No, keep the way it is.
I'm just kidding. Relax.
Okay.
So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you,
you know,
very much for having
all
me.
The best. Very
thank
impressive
you.
Career, and I know you're gonna
thank
do
you.
Very well, of course. And. So everybody go and Madoff, when is that coming out? Next year as well?
Madoff has to be sometime next year. We just finished.
I see.
So
okay.
It's out of my hands at
okay.
this point.
That's awesome.
We'll look for Simona in all these
yeah.
films. And Kira, go home, take a shower. Relax a little bit.
I can't. I'm going on a babysit.
Okay. And everybody have a great, great weekend. We'll see you here on Monday.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.